Good morning, everybody. So good to see you this morning. Miss Carol is with us this morning. I heard her in the early service, and she's fantastic, so you're going to love her a whole bunch. Thank you for coming this morning. The only announcement I have is continue to pray for our pastors. They'll be back in 2 weeks. Pray for them that they'll get rested up for we have a very busy fall coming up, and we need them to be rested up and ready to go. Our service next week is going to be an all-music service. I kind of call it Lessons and Carols, but it's a summer version of Lessons and Carols, and it is about the parts of worship and what the different parts of worship mean. And Tasha's written it for us. She's written some narration, and we're going to do some singing, and it should be a great time. So come on out next Sunday morning for that. Thank you so much, and let's worship.
Our call to worship today is from Psalm 33, verses 20 through 22. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and shield. Our heart is glad in him because we trust in his holy name. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you. Let us pray. We pray to you, O Lord, you hear our voices in the morning. At the sun's rise, we offer our prayers and wait for your answer. In our waiting, we put our trust in you, for you are steadfast and sure, and the promises that you make are for a lifetime. Amen. Let us confess our sins and return to Him. Join me in the prayer of confession, which is in your bulletin. Holy God, on this day we ask for your grace and mercy in our lives. We have sinned against you and one another. We have failed to embody your love for humanity. We have acted selfishly. We have lived out of fear rather than hope. We have not been neighbors to those in distress. Today we cast ourselves upon your mercy, and we pray that you will transform us, that we may live fully as your disciples in this world. We offer this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hear the good news of the gospel. Jesus forgives us, and he calls us to a life of peace. Amen. Please, well, we are standing, so sing our assurance.
Jesus Christ, I'm so glad to be here with you this morning. I feel like I know you because your online presence is so good. I've been stressed to the nines. I've listened to Jenny play. I've watched your worship services. And I love Tasha and Phil, and I think you're just blessed to have them as your pastors. You must be the sturdy ones. It's raining, and your pastors are gone, and yet you are here. So I believe hearts will be open today, and I am glad to come. I also bring you greetings from the Presbytery of Arkansas and our general presbyter, Stuart Smith. I work with Stuart in the presbytery office, so he speaks well of you, as you do of him, by the way, if you know him. Okay, today we're going to look at the letter of Paul to the church in Ephesus, and before we actually turn to chapter 1 and do some reading from it, I want to say a word or two about Ephesus. Now, when I think about biblical times, I usually think about sheep and shepherds and rural countries, but Ephesus was a big city, about 500,000 people have estimated, that large, which means that was a diverse population. And when you go home today, as I know you will, and you read the whole letter of Ephesians, you'll have a flavor that they were trying to work out a lot of things. In the early church, they were generally struggling with Gentile Christians and then people who had been Jewish and had become Christians, and there was a lot of tension in a church, can you imagine, between some different groups. So Paul is writing to them. Now, what Paul does in this letter is he takes chapters 1-3, and that is all about God, all about what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. And it's very reformed of him because chapters 4-6 are written, since we know this about God, how are we going to live our lives? Since we know about the love and grace of Jesus Christ, how will we be parents and husbands and wives, and how will we shape our communities? The beginning of this letter is like Paul is just piling up one phrase after another phrase to try to express what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. So hang on and don't plan your lunch, because this is not easy to listen to because there are just so many powerful, wonderful words. Let's attend then to this reading of God's holy word from Ephesians, beginning at verse 1 of chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will according to the good pleasure that he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we who were the first to set our hope on Christ might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance towards redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, I would like to see if you would throw up your hands for me if you like grits. I love grits. Now, I'm a grit purist. I don't want any garlic in there. I don't want any cheese. Just a little butter, salt, and pepper, and I'm good. Grits. Well, I wanted to tell you that there was a businessman from the north who came down one time, and he went to a little diner in the south to get some breakfast. And he goes in for his breakfast, and a waitress comes up, and she said, "Morning, honey, what can I get for you?" And he says, "I'd like 2 eggs over easy, 2 pieces of toast, and 3 pieces of bacon. She said, "You want anything to drink with that, honey?" He said, "I'd like black coffee." And she said, "Well, I'll get you some. You want anything in that coffee?" And he said, "I want black coffee, 2 eggs over easy, 2 pieces of toast, 3 pieces of bacon. She said, "I'll be right back, honey." So she runs back into the kitchen. Pretty soon she comes out. She puts this plate down in front of him. And he looks down there and he sees 2 eggs over easy, 2 pieces of toast, 3 pieces of bacon, and this white glob of stuff that has spread out over the plate. He looks at that and he says, "What is this? I didn't order this. I ordered 2 eggs over easy, 2 pieces of bacon, and 3 pieces of toast or something like that." And she says to him, "Oh, honey, that's grits." He said, "I didn't order any grits." And she said, "Oh, honey, down here in the South, don't you know, grits just come. They just come. Grits just come." That's kind of like grace. Grace just comes. It just comes to us. It's a gift. The word in the Greek for grace is charis, from which we get charity. It's a gift. It just comes to us. It's a marvelous word. Paul loves the word grace. He starts his letters. He ends his letters. He even took the Greek word for hello, which is charis, charis, and instead of that, when he met people, he'd say, "Charis, grace to you." It appears in the New Testament, charis does 145 times. 102 of those times, it is Paul saying, "Grace to you, grace, grace, grace." And you know what it means when you say to someone, "Grace to you"? It means, may God give you more than you could ever possibly deserve. More and more and more. Grace to you. May God give you more than you deserve. Is there anyone to whom you cannot say that? Grace to you. Because here's the thing. There's a little something in us, I think, as human beings, that really doesn't want people to get more and more and more than they deserve. We want them to get exactly what they deserve. No less, no more. Let me give you an example of that. My father was a high school principal, and before that he was a biology teacher and a coach. So he taught me to play basketball and he taught me to play tennis. And one fine day we decided we'd go play tennis on a Saturday down at the public court. My father, when he was presiding as principal, wore a dark suit, white shirt, bow tie, and always looked great. At home, not so much. He had kind of ratty shorts and ratty shirt and tennis shoes that were comfortable, and so did I. We pulled up to this public tennis court in a 57 Chevy, which was the school car, and we bounded out to go play tennis. Well, we looked out there, and there were these 2 young men, and they were dressed for it. White shoes, white socks, white shorts, white shirt, white band, white band, white band, with this racket that was gleaming in the sun. And there we went out on the court. We didn't look that great. Oh, they had their noses up in the air when they saw us. Get out. And if you dared hit a ball over into their court, which I did occasionally, oh, they roll their eyes. They roll their eyes at us, these little bumpkins that are over there playing on our, oh, and yeah, they call their match like this. Now, this is not Wimbledon, right? They're calling their match 15, 15, 15, 40. I mean, it was too much. Finally, we heard the wonderful words, "match point." And we were so glad. The young man in the white, 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 won. And he goes up there to jump over that net, and he runs up and he throws his leg up, and if he didn't catch his back foot on that net and went down, and that racket skittered across the court, and I looked over and my kind father, kind man, was bent over like this with tears running down his face laughing. And you know why? Because he got what he deserved. You know, I had a preacher friend who said, anybody that goes out and plays golf on a Sunday morning during church time, they drive, it goes up, it comes down. He said, fishing on a Sunday, not a bite, not a nibble. You know, and Jesus told those parables too, didn't he, about the workers in the vineyard and how they just came there at the last hour, but they got all that the other ones did. And how about that prodigal son went off, wasted all that money, and his father still, when he sees him, says, come on in, kill the fatted calf, get the rub, we're going to partay, we're having a partay. And the elder son is like, he's not getting what he deserves, but that's what grace is. May God give you more and more and more than you could ever deserve. And that's how we live. Think about it. You're sitting there in that pew. Your heart is going to beat about 103,000 times today. What did you have to do with that? Nothing. You're going to breathe between 12,000 and 40,000 times a day. And if you decide that you're in control of that process and you start to hold your breath, you know what will happen to you? You're going to pass out. We're going to be mad at you for doing that when you pass out. But you're going to eventually start to breathe again because we have nothing to do with that. 60,000 miles of veins and artery are pumping 2,000 miles of blood through gallons of blood through your body while you're just sitting here and I'm just standing here. We have nothing to do with that. It's amazing. And the creation that we are given by our creative God, do you ever really think about it? I admit, I confess, I take advantage of, I take it for granted. And maybe you do. It is so astonishing. Take a guess. How many different kinds of cats are there? 71. Dogs? 340 different kinds of dogs. Our God didn't say, we're going to have a Chihuahua. We need a Great Dane. And we need Dalmatians that are white and have those little spots on them. We can have Cruella and everything like that. And this is the God that we know. Beach people? Anybody a beach person in here? Mountain person? Do you know what you've been given, what I've been given? I can go to the mountains and stand out there and look at that vista, and my spirit is restored. Some people tell me that works for them at the beach. Me, not so much. But I'm glad that it's there for them. Crepe myrtle. 70 different varieties. God could have said, let's have white. No, let's have some lavender. Why don't we have watermelon? How about some pink? How about some deep red? Isn't it remarkable? We get up in the morning and look out, and the world is graced, grace-filled with all of that beauty to delight the eye and the heart. It's grace. It just comes like grit. It just comes. And Paul, in the letter that we read, is going to list the spiritual gifts that are given to us through Jesus Christ. Gifts that we don't think about sometimes. Here's the first one he mentioned. You are adopted as a child of God. And that means when you get up in the morning, God says, I made her. Made him. That is my work. To move around into the world. We have redemption through the blood. And I said this morning that we Presbyterians don't sing too much about the blood and we don't talk too much about the blood, but we do talk about redemption. And you know what redemption is? That means that despite what may happen in our lives or despite those things that we have done, we can be moved to a new place through the power of God, that the things that harmed and hurt us through the power of God are moved to a new place. That's big. That's big. Forgiveness of our sins. You sat here along with me and we read a confession of sin, and don't you do that most every Sunday? How many times might we at 3 a.m. go back and pick that burden up as if we hadn't given it to God, as if someone hadn't announced our forgiveness, but we go back and we pick it up again. Forgiveness gives us freedom, freedom to live. And this right here, this word of truth, the gospel of our salvation. Do you know what a miracle it is that we have this text? It was written years and years and years ago. It was passed down on manuscripts by priests and scholars and scribes so that we could have this, so that we could read it and hear it. And that same daddy that taught me how to play tennis died suddenly when I was 16 of a heart attack. My mom was recovering from a desperately bad cancer surgery, and my brother and I were thrown into chaos along with my mother. There was no comfort because he was a wonderful father who made gingerbread houses with me and read script, books to me and taught me poetry and read the comics on a Sunday morning, and he just died, and there we are. And there was no comfort. There was none until I was standing at his graveside on a November day with the trees bare against that November sky. And the minister stood there by the bank of flowers and said, "I lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence will my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth." And it was like this warmth was wrapped around me from the word of truth. And many a funeral I've done, staring into the void of grief, and they ask for the 23rd Psalm. And I say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul." And without even asking them, people start to say it. And they go somewhere in their head, standing again by the person that taught it to them, or all the places they've said it. Standing by the graveside of someone that you love, aren't you thankful? Aren't I thankful for the gospel of our salvation that reminds us that even in the face of death, yea, though we walk through that valley, there will be life and resurrection. Powerful, powerful gifts. And finally, he says, we're sealed with the Holy Spirit, which means you're never going to be out of God's hands. And it was the Holy Spirit that brought us here today to hear something, to feel something, to think of something, whatever that might be. So we now are at the time in the sermon where you say, well, that's all good. There's grace, and grace like grits just comes. So what? So what? We've heard it all our lives, haven't we? Grace, grace, grace. We're always talking about grace, always singing about grace. And by the way, Jenny, that was beautiful this morning. Amazing Grace. Thank you for playing that for us. So what? Well, here's what I think. First of all, I think it is a primary responsibility of the church not to let people forget all that's been done for us in God through Jesus Christ. Just to say it out there as often as we can. And secondly, the more that we can appropriate, the more that we can take in, the more that we can understand all of this grace that has been done for us, the more gracious we too might be. To know how we are loved and held, how grace-filled, how kind our God is to us, some of our defenses go away. And we don't have to struggle so hard to get what we need and get what we want because we have everything. And we offer that grace to others. It's kind of like, to use the old word, grace begets grace. Or I sure do hope it does. Her name was Miss Benjamin. People called her Miss Benny. She was a woman that had been a teacher. She was married to a teacher down the lower part of South Carolina, grew up in a small Presbyterian church down there. Miss Benny was a wonderful woman. Her husband died, lost a son at some point, and she was living alone, but Miss Benny loved to go outside and plant things. How many of you like to dig in the dirt? Do you? I don't like to dig in the dirt, but I love people that dig in the dirt. And Miss Benny loved to dig in the dirt, and she would plant things, and she had something blooming all year long, you know, because azaleas and camellias and daffodils and daylilies and all these things blooming. And she finally developed a ministry where she would go into people's hospital rooms or homes when she knew they were sick, and she'd take them a single flower. If they were a little girl or a woman, she would pin it to their pillow in the hospital and just say, I just came in to see you. I'm not going to stay. Just want you now thinking about you, because she was shy. And if you were a fella, if you were a man or a boy, she'd put it in a little cup and set it around in your hospital room just to remind you I'm praying for you. She'd run out the door. Miss Benny had a stroke, damaged her right side, damaged her speech. Pastor went in to see her. Miss Benny pointed to the pad that was there, and he gave her a pad and a pencil, and Miss Benny wrote down as best she could one word on that pad, and the word was why. Why? Well, the pastor didn't know why. We don't know a lot of stuff. He didn't know why, but he prayed with her. The next day, they came for the test, the test, the test. The CAT scan, the MRI, the physical therapist, the occupational therapist. They rolled her away early in the morning. The nurse rolled her back in her bed that afternoon, pushed over the door of her hospital room, pushed it open, and the nurse went, because that room was filled with flowers, pinned to the bed, taped to the wall, red and yellow and azaleas and crepe myrtle sprigs and roses and carnations and things like that, you know? Why did they do that? Because the grace that she showed beget grace, and they wanted her to know that no matter what, she was loved and that the grace of God was with her. You're very graced people. And I pray that God would give us the eyes to see it, the heart to be thankful for it, and the strength to share it. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.
Let us pray. Eternal God, we rejoice this morning in the gift of life which we have received by your grace. We rejoice in the new life you give us in Jesus Christ. Especially, we thank you for the love of our families, for the affection of our friends, for strength and the ability to serve your purpose this day, for this community in which we live, for opportunities to give as we have received. God of grace, we offer our prayers for the needs of others and commit ourselves to serve them even as we have been served. In Jesus Christ we pray. We pray for those closest to us, like families, friends, and neighbors. We pray for refugees and homeless men, women, and children. We pray for the outcast and the persecuted. We pray for those from whom we are estranged. We pray for your church around this world. We offer to you now, both aloud and silently in our hearts, particular people and situations. Eternal God, your touch makes this world holy. Open our eyes to see your hand at work in this world and in our lives. Help us to cherish the gifts that surround us, to share your blessings with our sisters and brothers, and to experience the joy of life in your presence. We ask this through Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Don't mind if I make a personal observation just before we do our prayer for Thanksgiving. My favorite movie, I think, is To Kill a Mockingbird, and my favorite character in that movie is the young girl whose name is Scout. And it occurred to me today while listening to Carol Clark that if Scout had grown up to be a minister, she would have preached just like Scout did, just like Carol did. I'm sorry. All right. I was hoping you'd take that the right way. Now let's give a prayer of thanksgiving. Eternal God, send your Holy Spirit into our hearts to direct and rule us according to your will. Use our lives as you see fit. Use these offerings to your glory. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
Grace-filled people that you are, and take time to share that good news with others, all that the Lord has done for us and done for us in Jesus Christ, and invite them to come with you to be a part of this beautiful, graceful place. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and forever. Amen.